The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Welcome to Conspiracy Theory Thursday, September 5th. We're at 62 degrees, still dark. Boy, you can see the season starting to shift pretty quickly there, huh? You can join the conversation in 770-563-3770-KMED. The email bill at BillMyersShow.com. We got a lot going on this morning. We're going to talk with Steve Malloy. I try to drill into, you got to talk about the presidential election, and yet the part is, I don't know about you, I'm just terrified about this, because in spite of the fact that that arguably Kamala Harris is one of the poorest candidates, a non-candidate, someone who was a nobody until just a few weeks ago, until all of a sudden we have how do I describe the media when it comes to Kamala Harris? It's sort of like, I understand it that in the porn industry, they have what are called fluffers. I don't want to get too graphic about it, but I can't help but think the entire mainstream media is performing the job of what a fluffer would do, I suppose, if you're on the set of a porn movie. In other words, blowing things up to be much more than it otherwise will be. Okay, I think I can get away with putting it that way. The entire media complex, with rare exception, seems to be there. It's like, she's new. We're going to introduce her. She's had nothing to do with the misery and the tyranny and the violence and everything else which you've been enduring as part of life in America, and the decline of standards. You know, she had nothing to do with this, even though she was one of the last people in the room before the Afghanistan withdrawal, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, it's just an entire a fake job, a cover-up job. And I have yet to be convinced that it won't work. Seriously. And I don't like saying that. It just kind of, it just terrifies me. I was even talking to my boss about that just a few minutes ago. The more you look at it, and you just realize, here comes another story about Bill's 45th high school reunion over the weekend. Vast majority of the people that I went to school with at that reunion are hardcore conservatives. Ohio is a very red state, okay? At least in that particular area. But it's much like Oregon, where you have the smaller semi-rural areas that are pretty conservative and actually pretty commonsensical. And then you have Columbus, and you have Cleveland, and then you have Cincinnati. You know, ended up, dancing to the progressives' tune. But hopefully there's more of the rural or smaller cities that are able to overcome it. It's not all that different from Oregon, except they don't have mountains like we do. That's why I like Oregon a lot more. Ohio has rolling hills. We actually have real mountains. You know, what they call a mountain is like a small hill, like East McAndrews. East McAndrews going up by the church. That would be considered a mountain in Ohio, and here it's just it's just a hill on East McAndrews. But yeah, most of the people I'm talking to are hardcore conservatives. They know I'm a conservative talk show host out here. They're going, man, okay, what's it like out there in crazy Oregon? You know, you're having those kind of conversations. But there were a handful of progs in the class of 1979. In fact, if you're on my Facebook page, you'll know one of them, his brother, Bill Boken, was there, and he is a hardcore Democrat. His younger brother, Bernie Boken, is a troll on my Facebook page all the time. He's always jumping in there. Whatever it is, I just trigger him, you know, that sort of thing. And then there was Martha Bickley, very nice progressive, very nice woman, and a handful of others. And so we were having this conversation, and it was like having the conversation with them was all that mattered, is that the hatred of Donald Trump, just hardcore, right from the core of their being, hatred. Now, I dislike Kamala Harris. I think she has bad policies. I don't think she's particularly bright. She's certainly awkward. Maybe what we think of as not bright is that she's just socially awkward and not very good at extemporaneous speaking, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't hate her. I don't hate her. But all of these Democrats I were talking to, even just the handful, just, it is just to the core, right from the beginning, is going to, it's going to, he's going to destroy democracy and bring in the dictatorship. And he won't get out of our bedroom. I think it was, wasn't it Tim Walz who was even saying that? You know, what small government, not small government, to get out of your bedroom, get in your life. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, yeah, you are the guys that are saying that we are not to, allowed to drive cars that you don't approve of, right? Or that you shouldn't have a car at all. Or you don't want to, you want to talk about getting in our lives. You want to control everything about where we're allowed to live and what kind of house, what kind of a toilet, what kind of everything. You know, to have any of these people talking about anybody getting into your bedroom, screw off. You know, you just get this way. But it is to the core. And I would have to try to have a reasonable conversation with these people and say, man, if it was anybody but Trump, I might consider. It was like talking to Liz Cheney's. By the way, Liz Cheney came out and endorsed Kamala yesterday, which is really surprising. A listener last night on my Facebook page had an interesting little... Let's see if I can find this. Oh, yeah. Susan said, what changed? Because Liz had a post from 2020 when she was talking about what a dangerous individual Kamala Harris was. I guess, once again, Liz Cheney has daddy issues, like it seems like everybody else in the Democratic Party has daddy issues right now. And I honestly think that's what's going on. For all his faults... And there are many, because he's human, President Trump represents the dad, represents a bit of discipline, even if he does behave in an undisciplined fashion sometime. I think that's still what it is. He just drives them crazy. All of these women that, you know, dad would have said, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't sleep with every guy that you know and then go have an abortion or something. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should try something a little bit different. You know, they look at Donald Trump and go, ugh. Is my father. I hate my father. I really think there's a lot to do with that psychologically. But I'm not convinced that in spite of all this vapidness, what's coming out of the Harris campaign, I'm not convinced she can't win. You know, I'm not convinced that Trump is beating her at this point, especially when you combine it with what's left of the cheat machine still going on. What do you think about it? I'm happy to take your calls. But I'm not sitting around here going, man, I can't wait for that debate coming up on the 10th. Man, he's just going to wipe up the floor with her. Yeah, he might. He might. And it might not matter. Because once again, everything that the mainstream media does is playing the role of a fluffer in a porn movie. So take that to the bank. And if you don't know what it is, look it up. I'm not going to do any more descriptive. No more descriptions about that. All right, we can talk about that or anything else on your mind, though. 770-5633. Rough time over at Shady Cove the last few days. Man, they're still into the third, fourth day now without water after, you know, the big water pump ended up breaking down, and they have a backup pump, and they're... Mayor Ball saying that city officials still unsure how long the outage could last, but learned that the equipment, specifically a crane that was needed to perform needed repairs, which Ball said may not happen this week. So this may be a few more days. So they're working on getting deliveries of water going on there. And you know, it's really great to see people who have wells in Shady Cove are putting out the notice and helping out their neighbors. And I just think that's really great. Shady Cove really working hard to pull together. I really admire what they're doing there. But when it comes to preparedness, though, Shady Cove, definitely another teachable moment because of all the things that you can live without. You can live without power for a while. Sometime you maybe get a backup generator. You probably have a bit of food in the pantry. You can live a few days there. But life without water, that's a big one. What's your backup plan? Do you have 55-gallon drums that you have maybe stored back in a shed or doing something like that? You got water filters. Great. Even if you have water filters, you have to have a source of water to suck from, okay? I was watching KLBI yesterday. They had someone who was talking about going in there, dipping water into there, or dipping their buckets into the Rogue River And I'm sure that would need quite a bit of filtering. But yeah, you could use it for a toilet, no problem like that, and various other things. But yeah, it is amazing how quickly you go back to the 1800s without a good source of potable water. And we get so used to it. You just open it up and boom, there it is. And a teachable moment. But bless you, Shady Cove. Hopefully you get that pump fixed and things are working a lot better. Temperatures today, a lot hotter, 105 or so, last check. And fire danger moves back to extreme in Southern Oregon tomorrow. And so we're back to that. And it's going to be a pretty warm weekend. And then it's a rapid cool off. Okay, so that's reasonably good news. I was reading in the Rogue Valley Times, Oregon Department of Transportation and the city of Medford are looking for your public input on I-5 crossing design options. So they're wanting us to comment on draft recommended alternatives for South Stage Road crossings of Interstate 5 between Phoenix and South Medford exits. Okay. That's really funny because it wasn't all that many years ago when they were talking about putting that monstrosity of an exit down at exit 27 a number of years ago, in which people were saying, why don't you just put another freeway exit down there at South Stage? Oh, no, we have to. You know, our policy is that we have to improve every intersection to the maximum first. So they put that ridiculous intersection down there at exit 27. And the existing exit 27 one, they said it was too small. All right. I get it. But there was nothing wrong with it. It was just too large to handle it all. So we're just thinking common sense-wise, it would make much more sense just to add a South Stage exit, take off some of the pressure, then exit 27 will work just fine as it was. Oh, no, but this is our policy. See, every time I hear anybody in bureaucracy talking about this is my policy, I want to smack them upside the head because policy is just your choice. Policy is not law. Just remember that every time you hear these bureaucrats that are talking about, well, our policy is that we do this. Well, my policy is you do what we say. And my concern here is that the Oregon Department of Transportation, as usual, it's they already have a predetermined outcome. And so they're just asking what kind of screwing do you want us of the choices that Oregon Department of Transportation will have to screw you over, spend your money, and really not move traffic from A to B as we put in bicycle bum ways and have grant stream funding going into the various cities to build bicycle bum ways and to squeeze down on regular traffic that really moves people around. And so, you know, we just have what variations of misery have we predetermined outcomes that you'll be able to weigh in on? All right. You know, you won't be able to have the slutty dress, the slutty prom dress, if you were choosing like Mom would. Mom would have the two nice dresses. I'm sorry, too many sexual references. I got to stop that this morning. But yeah, I'll take a look at this, and maybe we can talk about it in a few days, because we only have through the 16th to get this open house chosen. But my concern is, once again, predetermined outcome, and are they really going to be listening to the people? Because one thing I would say is, where's the option to not build? Maybe there is an option to not build. That's my concern. Every time the planners come forth, there's never a choice, or usually not a choice, especially when it comes to the transportation, of don't do anything. Don't do this. Wait. Let's study this a bit longer. It's always, what of these really expensive options that are going to screw your world over are you going to accept? Because we are the planners. And we all graduated from the, you know, American Planning Association kind of way, in which everything is about sustainable development, climate-friendly, equitable communities. Yes, I know I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but I can't help it. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Okay? All right. Speaking of Conspiracy Theory Thursday, we got Steve Malloy coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to him about Kamala Harris's avoiding any kind of solid policy stance. And naturally, the fluffers in the mainstream media, I'll keep using that term because I think it's a good one. The fluffers will continue to cover for her. But what about this whole deal about she's wanting, in the past, she would say, she says we shouldn't have anything but electric vehicles to drive. Well, we'll talk with Steve about that. Also looking forward to checking in with Mark Seligman. Mark is running for state representative, Democratic HD3, and he is really upset at this recall in Joe County over John West. So we'll have a little talk about that. I think I'm going to be able to get a hold of Bob Hart, too. Bob Hart was watching one of those wildfire mapping meetings yesterday. Oregon Department of Transportation, the Board of Forestry, had that talk yesterday. Dr. John Lott, Jr., I was going to talk with him about FBI and crime, but naturally we're going to also have to discuss the latest school shooting over in Georgia. And surprise, surprise, he was on the FBI radar a year ago, and nothing was done. They didn't think there was anything that could be done about that. But then I've got the Conspiracy Theory Thursday guest. I mean, this is a conspiracy theorist, conspiracy theory guest. Troy Anderson is the guy's name, and he's the author of a new book. It's a book coming out in a couple of weeks here called The Trump Code, Exploring Time Travel, Nikola Tesla, and the Trump Lineage. And he poses a very thought-provoking question here. I mean, could the Trump family's connection, he's actually connecting Trump to Tesla, time travel, esoteric knowledge, secret societies, all this kind of stuff, talking about the mysteries of our past and future. So there may be more going on at MAGA than first appears. So I haven't been able to read the book yet because it's not out yet. But I'm going to talk with him about it. It sounded like very interesting. I said, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to talk to this guy. We'll see what this is all about. Trump and time travel. Well, if Trump is connected with time travel, could we go back in time and every time a rapper was ready to start learning how to rap and put that out there, could we eliminate the rappers and get them into classical music or something like that? It would have been a better culture, I think.
Ready to sip your way into fall bliss?
Now I'm on KMED.
Social media claims another military career. This is an interesting one. Sometimes maybe you shouldn't put everything you do out on social media. And case in point, the commander of the U.S. Navy destroyer USS John McCain, relieved of his duties. This was a number of months after the service branch faced ridicule on social media. This recording to Fox News. Facing ridicule on social media because he posted a photo of him firing an AR-15 or an AR-15-style rifle. What was that, the M4 in the military? I don't know. But he's shooting it, and the scope is mounted backwards. So there's no way he could have been really, you know, sighting the rifle. So, but Commander Cameron Yest was also let go from his position due to a loss of confidence in his ability to command the guided missile destroyer. Yes. And so social media just pretty much set him on fire. Now, I don't know if that's the only reason that he was cut loose. But I can't help but think that there may be some DEI stuff going on because he was replaced by Captain Allison Christie. And he's a white guy. You know, white guy, you know, you have the scope on backwards. Got to replace you. Got to replace you with a woman. I don't know if that's it, but you always get a little suspicious these days, okay? Meanwhile, there's another really interesting story coming out of the military that, and this was in the Navy Times. And I guess some Navy chiefs conspired to get illegal warship Wi-Fi on their boat. Because normally when they're out there on maneuvers, everything's locked down and you can't get normal Wi-Fi access. It's about a security sort of thing. And so you lose your internet connectivity when the ship gets deployed. Operational security, things like that, right? However, the senior officers on the crew on the combat ship Manchester, they didn't lose their internet at all because they installed and secretly used their very own Wi-Fi network during a deployment. This according to an internal investigation obtained by the Navy Times. What they did is that they put one of those Elon Musk Starlink antennas on top of the boat. And they had and they named the internet access point Stinky. So I guess when you were trying to log in, you'd just see here's the Stinky Wi-Fi name. And so they would get their sports scores and they'd stream movies and do Facebook posts, I suppose, and everything else. Well, they got caught. Yeah, they're going to be in big trouble. They're not real happy with this. A lot of busting down in ranks going on, but all to be able to get the sports scores and that sort of stuff. And so a few more careers really being hurt there. But Too bad they couldn't use that kind of creativity for, you know, winning battles and things like that and not running into one another. But I thought that was an interesting story, too. Bill London has the rest of our local stories. He'll have that coming up in just a moment. Then let's talk about the electric vehicle, Kamala, and let's not talk about Kamala. Well, no, Kamala doesn't really want to talk about Kamala, at least when it comes to any difficult questioning. But Steve has a lot to say about that coming up on The Bill Myers Show.
If you're considering a new garage...
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Steve Malloy, Senior Energy and Environment Institute Legal Fellow, joins me, of course, founder of JunkScience.com. Steve, it is great to have you back. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Bill, thanks for having me back. Great to talk to you.
All right. I know that I'm feeling a lot safer this morning, especially that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, supposedly, is now going out there and taking on Russia, all that Russia Wait a minute. Didn't we go through this just a few years ago, Russia, and end up all being a fraud? Explain this to me.
Well, you know, Merrick Garland announced yesterday that the Justice Department is going to get involved in election interference. Apparently, they have found some, you know, Russian activity someplace. And, you know, I guess, of course, Russians and Chinese and, you know, Iranians and lots of people are going to try to do stuff, possibly. But what really got me was that he said that, you know, talk of inflation... Talk of inflation is Russian disinformation. So if you talk about, you know, like the Biden administration causing inflation or just having inflation, apparently that is Russian disinformation.
You know something, Steve? I will be much more impressed when I hear about an AG going after Russian election interference and disinformation when the CIA and the FBI take themselves out of the American media mouthpiece, okay? You know, do you remember? Remember the 50 intelligence agency guys that were signing in? That's not election interference, right? But talking about inflation, if you're on Russia Today, that is? What?
Yeah, look, so talking about inflation is a problem, but, you know, the Chinese spy working for Governor Hochul in New York, not a problem.
Yeah, nothing to see. Nothing to see here.
The shooter, the kid in Georgia who shot up the school, the FBI, you know, knew about him too, didn't do anything. And they're worried about Russians talking about inflation. Everybody's talking about inflation.
Yeah, we've all been talking about inflation because anybody who's not an incredibly wealthy person has been getting crushed by it in the real world, even though federal government has been trying to downplay its effects, I think. Yeah. I can understand why, because, it's something that the federal government, in essence, caused.
People talk about reforming government. President Trump talks about it. You know, we just need to cut government back, cut the FBI, cut the CIA, give them, you know, just enough money to focus on what they're supposed to be focused on.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
FBI domestic actual crime and CIA foreign, you know, intrigue, and get these guys out of our lives, out of our politics.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of mission creep here over the last few years, for sure. I wanted to touch on something, though, which is within your wheelhouse. This has to do with the climate nonsense. And, of course, like you said, you're the Senior Energy and Environmental Institute legal fellow and former Trump EPA transition team member. Now, Kamala Harris is not really letting anybody know whether she supports requiring automakers to build only electric or hydrogen vehicles by 2035. And, you know, the left has had these goals either 2030, 2035, 2040, 2050. It's kind of like, the old Soviet Union for, the crop plans over the next few years. But they always do it. They're out there in the open about this. And she won't say where she's going about this, just like with fracking. I guess she's okay with fracking now, I guess, until she's elected. What are you thinking about what you're hearing?
I guess my general comment about her is it's not that she doesn't have a position or is trying to hide her position. She just doesn't know anything. Okay. I mean, she's got to be the most vapid person to ever run for president. Past that, you know, look, she was for an EV mandate in 2019. She sat by and supported the Biden EV mandate. So she's for, you know, to the extent she can have a position, she's for an EV mandate. But generally speaking, you know, she will say anything or not say anything so that she can, you know, be elected. So I don't trust anything she says. None of it makes any sense. She doesn't know. I would just, you know, I think voters should just assume that she's going to do the wrong thing, as she has supported for the last 4 years, and as she, you know, openly talked about in 2019 when she was running for president last time and didn't get a single vote. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's an empty vessel. She's just going to do what she's told by, you know, whoever's telling Joe Biden what to do.
Now, you were on the Trump transition team back in the day. But would you agree with me that in spite of the weaknesses that you have detailed here, she could win this, couldn't she?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a close election. I mean, look, we have the Justice Department weighing in, saying that talking about inflation is Russian disinformation. I mean, if the government is saying that, you know, the government is. I mean, look, you mentioned it earlier, the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean, this is the same sort of thing, right? So the fix is in, and I think Trump just got to win by enough votes that they just, you know, they can't cheat enough to win.
Yeah. I was reading on a friend of mine, as an automotive journalist I talk to quite frequently. His name is Eric Peters. Don't know if you know him, but. He wrote a piece saying that he believes that Volkswagen and many other car companies only have maybe a year or two left, really literally circling the drain because of these policies coming out of the apparatchiks. You know, the
Right. Well, so all the car companies made the mistake of trusting the government, you know, assuming the government knew what it was doing, that there was this demand for EVs. So they all went along with it. Of course, you know, a lot of them owe their existence to the government because the government bailed them out, during the housing bubble fiasco. But, you know, Volkswagen in particular, you know, they're having real problems in Europe because the Chinese are there in Europe. And the Chinese are, of course, undercutting Volkswagen. I mean, there's no way Volkswagen can compete with anything China does because, what, China, you basically have slave labor. You got no environmental regulations. You just, you know, everything is just dirt cheap in China. And so China can just flood the market with low-priced cars. You can't build an EV without China. China controls all the materials. Every, you know, 100% of the processed graphite that goes into an EV battery comes from communist China. So they control everything. And is Volkswagen in trouble? Yeah, all car manufacturers are in trouble. Ford, GM. I mean, Ford was losing, what, $30,000, $60,000 per EV sold last year. And I don't think things have improved that much this year. That's why they're, you know, abandoning. They just announced they're going to stop making EV trucks, EV pickups.
Yeah, so. Yeah, they're just sitting on the lot and very expensive.
Yeah.
And that's why, though, energy and environmental policy matters. This is right in your wheelhouse over there. And why we have to try to pin Kamala on, because you got to figure that whatever she's going for, it can't be good, Steve.
Well, look, we became a great power and a great country, a wealthy country, through our industrial might. And over the last 40 years, we have just kind of frittered that away. We have shipped it to China, India. You know, we have issued environmental regulations, OSHA regulations. China has slave. You know, we have done the exact wrong thing. President Trump is exactly right. We need to bring industry back to America, real industry, productive industry, so that we can make ourselves wealthy again, you know, give working people a real chance. I mean, you shouldn't have to rely on coding, which is not really an industry to start with.
As a matter of fact, artificial intelligence, I'm told, is now completely destroying that industry, too, in which, you know, you just have AI write the code for you, right?
Yeah, you know, and I have my own, we'll have to talk about this, I have my own thoughts on AI. I think AI is a little bit of a hoax. We need a lot of computing power, no question about that, and we do need a lot of coders, but we also need people to make stuff. And, you know, I grew up in a time, and you grew up in a time when, you know, you could have a career making stuff or mining stuff or producing oil, you could have a significant career. You could buy a house. You could send your kids to college. You could have new cars. You know, we need to get to that era again. Of course, you know, Kamala Harris's theme is we're not going back. You know, they want to go into the brave new world, which, if you've ever read that book, it's not such a brave new world.
Yeah. Now, Steve, what I was kind of wondering, though, is there any way, will smoking them out at this point be effective, you know, given the cheap machine and this just wall of impenetrability that seems to have been set up among Democratic campaigns in the mainstream media? What are your thoughts on that?
It's going to be a close election. There's no question about that. And, you know, this time, if we are so lucky that Trump wins, Trump is going to have to go about it a little bit smarter than last time. You know, he was doing great last time. Then he fell into the COVID trap, mm-hmm. You know, and he started relying on people like Fauci and Deborah Birx. And I mean, he relied on the public health establishment, which is all Democrats. And of course, they managed COVID to disaster.
Yeah, and I can't help but think that this was an intentional disaster too, trying to cut people off at the knee here. When it comes to energy policy, since once again Energy and Environment Legal Institute, which is where you are, and we appreciate your work there, is there a need to be transitioning to any kind of energy form other than the conventional ones that we have right now? Or is there a case to be made? Because I remember even just a few years ago, we're going to go to hydrogen. And then I would say, yeah, but there are no, you can't mine hydrogen. It usually has to be made from some other energy input, and people don't quite understand that kind of thing. So, but is there anything that we should be knowing and exploring that we are?
Yes, there is. We need to be transitioning back to coal.
Okay.
So 15 years ago, before Obama became president, half of our electricity came from coal. We burn coal cleanly, and coal is cheaper than anything else. And we should be burning more coal. We should take all that natural gas we're producing. We should build LNG export terminals, and we should be exporting it to places like Japan and Korea and Europe, who will pay top dollar for it. There's no need to burn natural gas in this country for free when we can be making a pile of money shipping it elsewhere.
But Steve, one of the challenges you face here, and you understand, and you get this though, is that a good half, sometimes more than half of the country believes that carbon dioxide produced from burning everything, it's produced by life itself, is actually a pollutant. Even the EPA is trying to call it a pollutant, and it's not, but when you're dealing with religious fervor, how do you handle that? How do you convince them?
So, if President Trump gets back in, we start, you know, controlling these agencies. If it was me, I would block them from talking about this the climate hoax. This is just ridiculous. This is nothing but propaganda that comes out of the agencies, EPA and NOAA. I would shut down the grants for climate science or climate junk science. And what President Trump said, drill, baby, drill. We need to be producing energy. We need to bring our industry back. We need to be a productive economy again. Our environment is our air is clean. Our water is clean. I've been doing this since 1990. I have never seen an environmental regulation that has made anyone's life better. You know, a new one since 1990. So we need to bring reality back, science back into how government operates. That has completely, President Trump had it under control 4 years ago, except for COVID. But we have learned from that, from all that. So we just need to bring that back.
Okay.
And we need to have 4 years of Trump, and then we need to find, maybe it's J.D. Vance, maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. But we need to have Republicans controlling government for a while to bring sanity back to government.
Yeah, Daddy needs to get back in control, I think, here. Steve, the other thing I was going to ask you, what is your overall take as, once again, energy and environment legal fellow here about the future of nuclear? Is there a bright future for that, or is everybody still going to keep replaying the old, we're going to have meltdowns in Chernobyl, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, so President Trump is all for nuclear. I'm all for nuclear. I have a great story at the top of my website, junkscience.com, about nuclear power. If you want to know how to bring nuclear power back to America, read that story. It's very important. It's about the science and how EPA has shut down the nuclear industry with junk science. So we need to fix that at EPA. If you don't want coal power, you got to have something, because we ought to be shipping that natural gas out to, Japan and Korea, where they're paying top dollar. So nuclear power is great, and we've got new nuclear technologies, these small modular reactors. There's all sorts of great energy options out there, not including wind and solar, which are just absolute crap.
And if you are going to have wind and solar, you have to have 100% backup by some energy form that you can bring online at the drop of a hat when the sun goes down or the wind stops blowing. And a lot of people don't realize that.
We've got lots of infrastructure problems in this country, roads and bridges collapsing. And we have terrible, antiquated, broken down storm and wastewater systems. Those things need money. And instead of wasting money, I think President Trump might address some of this today. Instead of wasting money on building windmills and solar panels and transmission lines for that green crap, we need to be fixing our roads and bridges and wastewater systems. Okay, so we have vital infrastructure that is just rotting. Basically, it needs to be repaired.
Yeah, you get no arguments from me. We even have a local water system that is finding itself in crisis right now, trying to get pumps replaced. And, of course, what it's like trying to get pumps replaced or anything replaced in the United States these days? Supply chain. How many weeks do you have to wait, right?
Well, we don't even make the pumps, right? They all come from China. And same with electric transformers. We have dams that need to be repaired. We have all these things that need to be done, and we are wasting money on this green crap.
Yeah, and wasting time for sure. Steve Malloy, we appreciate the take. I'm going to read that article on Nuke on junkscience.com, but also you can head over to eelegal.org. EELegal, that's the Energy and Environment Legal Institute. We appreciate your work, and we'll have you back. Thanks so much for the analysis, okay? Be well. It is 6:54. You're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.